What's the rules?
There's no rules.
What's the rules for the court, though? You don't have to believe it. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to welcome it. Some of it you might find hard to believe. Some of it may startle you. He says you're not asked to judge it at all, even though that's what we do. And it says that it's the use of the ideas that are given meaning to you and will show you that they're true, using it. And it takes a completely different approach to solving problems than anything that we've been taught. So much so that the Course says that a lot of the answers that we receive through it may seem irrelevant to us. It may seem like it doesn't have anything to do with being the real answer to what we think we're going through at all. Because we've already, he says, we already make up what we think the answer should be. And then when we don't hear the answer that we're looking for, then we feel attacked and get mad. So in most cases, people are listening to hear the answer that they've already made up, rather than coming into a place and being completely open to an answer, even if it's not an answer they made up. You see the difference? Most people are looking for what they are making up in their mind would be the solution to their problem. And they're basically looking for confirmation, even if it hasn't worked. And which is really funny, right? I've been trying this for 6 months, it hasn't worked at all, but I need you to confirm I'm doing the right thing. You might want to reconsider that. So I'm going to be on page 167. I'm going to be at paragraph 4. And the Course is basically saying each one has the voice for God, the voice for unity inside of them called the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is that part of God that is attuned to us and also is aware of the truth. So the Holy Spirit is a part of us that's the voice for God, the voice for unity, the voice for spirit, he says. And that's what really needs to handle the situation ultimately is God. And so it says, when you react at all to errors, you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. When you react at all to errors, you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. When you react at all to errors, you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. When you react at all to errors, you're not listening to love. When you react at all to errors, when you react at all to errors, when you react at all to errors, you're not listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is merely disregarded the errors. If you attend to the errors, you're not hearing Holy Spirit. If you don't hear Holy Spirit, then you must be listening to your own ego. And then if you're listening to your own ego, you're making as little sense as the brother whose errors you perceive. So if I'm listening to my ego, I'm not making any more sense than the person I'm trying to correct, because they're making a mistake because they're listening to their ego. That's why they're acting crazy, because they're listening to the fearful part. You see what I'm saying? So he says, so if you turn around and listen to your ego to respond to their ego, then actually you're not making any more sense than the person that you are correcting. So because the Holy Spirit, the God self, he says, has really disregarded the error. And so you making as little sense as the person that you're looking at, he said, well, that can't be correction. That's what it says. So that can't be correction. And yet, it's more than merely a lack of correction for the other person. It's also giving up correction in yourself. So when a person behaves insanely, that's a brother, you can heal the person only by perceiving the sanity in them. If a person is behaving insanely, you can heal them only by perceiving the sanity in him. Can you heal him only by perceiving the sanity in the person? You can heal the person only by perceiving the sanity in the person. When a person behaves insanely, you can heal them only by perceiving the sanity in them. So there's me that's sane, and then there's a me that I've made up that's insane. There's a me that's sane, and there's some thoughts that I've made up that are insane. There's me that's sane, and I've made up some behaviors and a personality that can be insane. So I am sane, but I learned some insane lessons. I am sane, but I took my sane, capable mind to learn some insane stuff. But I'm sane. If you had learned 3 and 3 is 10, then that would be an error, right?
Right.
But that don't mean you're insane. It just means you learned the wrong thing. So that's what the Course is trying to tell us. You are sane, You're okay. It's just some thoughts. We have some thoughts in our minds that are insane, that are producing insane behavior. Everybody hear me on that? Okay. That's what the Course is saying to me. And so one big thing you could do for yourself tonight that would really be helpful to you is to recognize that you're not crazy. That you have a sane mind. And that sane mind is capable of producing wonderful things for you. But the problem is that we've learned some insane lessons. Insane lessons. Okay. Then it says, if you perceive the other person's errors and you accept the other person's errors, you are accepting yours. If you perceive the other person's errors and accept the other person's errors, you are accepting yours. If you want to give yours over to the Holy Spirit, you must do that with His. If you want to give your stuff over to God, you must do that with the other person. If you want to give your stuff over to a higher power, you must give the other person's stuff over to a higher power. If you want to give your mistakes over to the higher power, you must do this with the other person's mistakes. If you want to give yours over to the Holy Spirit, you must do this with His. Unless giving it over to the Holy Spirit becomes the one way in which you handle all errors, you cannot understand how all errors are undone. Unless giving it to God becomes the one way in which you handle all errors. See, when I first read this made me so aware I didn't believe in God. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you read stuff like that, it really gets you out of denial about your belief in the higher power. You know, I can say I believe in God, but I noticed when I first read this, when it would say stuff like, if you want to have your problem solved, give it to the Holy Spirit. If you want to have everybody else's problem solved, give it to the Holy Spirit. A part of my mind felt like it was just telling me to do nothing. Like it was actually I was being told that I'd not deal with it because I'm being asked to give it to God. But the way I used to do it in my old way was to do everything myself and then say it was God who told me to do it. But when somebody said, well, ask the Creator and give it over to the Creator, then I had to admit that if I really still felt a lot of fear and conflict, that I didn't believe there was a Creator to give it over to. That's why I feel afraid. That's why there's a difference between learning universal laws and establishing a relationship with God. Learning universal laws means basically learning the principles of manifesting things. That your consciousness can draw things to you, that everything around you is an extension of the One. You know, all that I give is given to myself. You know, visualize it, then I draw it to me. Those are like learning the laws, but it's a relationship with that which created us that really creates the easy, loving, flowing life that everybody dreams of. It comes from the connection to Source. It doesn't come from wish fulfillment. So, if I want to give your stuff over to the Holy Spirit, I must do that with my stuff. And unless this becomes the one way in which I handle all my stuff, I'm paraphrasing. He says, you can't understand how all errors are undone. How is this different from telling you what you teach, you learn? If you demonstrate it, you learn it. If you demonstrate it, you learn it. Your brother is as right as you are. If you think your brother is wrong, you're condemning yourself. If you think your brother is wrong, you're condemning yourself. If you think your brother is wrong, you're condemning yourself. So if I am you and you are me and we are connected and I condemn you, then I'm condemning me because I am you and you are me and we are connected. If I condemn you, I'm condemning me. So the truth is, you are as right as I am. That means you have a sane mind, I have a sane mind. Who you really are is right, is who I really am is right. So if I think that what you are is wrong, I'm condemning myself. There's a difference between you being wrong and your lessons being wrong. You being wrong and your perceptions being wrong. You are right, your perceptions may be wrong. I can be right, but my perceptions may be wrong. So if I see you as a wrong person, then I'm condemning myself because you're not a wrong person. You're just making some errors that need to be corrected by God in love. You cannot correct yourself. Is it possible for you to correct another? I love that line. You can't even correct yourself. Is it possible for you to correct anybody else? You can't even correct yourself. Is it possible for you to correct anybody else? But it's possible then for you to see the other person truly because it's possible for you to see yourself truly. It's not up to you to change a person. It's not up to you to change a brother, sister. It's not up to you to change them, but merely to accept them as they are. Their errors do not come from the truth in them, and only this truth is your truth. The person's errors can't change the truth in them and can have no effect at all on the truth in you. So to perceive errors or mistakes or ego in anyone and then to react to them as if they're real is to make them real to you. To perceive the error of the ego in anyone and then to react to them as if they are real is to make them real to you. To react to them as if they're real makes them real to you. Reacting to the error as if it is real makes the error real to you. You want to skip the price for, paying a price for this, making another person's errors real to you. Not because you're being punished for it, but because you're following the wrong God and would therefore lose your way. Your brother's errors are not of him any more than yours are of you. Accept your brother's errors as real, then you have attacked yourself. If you attack your brother, if you accept your brother's errors as real, you have attacked yourself. If you would find your way and keep your way, see only truth beside you as you walk together. If you want to find your way and keep the way, see only truth beside you as you walk together. If I'm walking with you, instead of getting caught up in the errors that we're making as we walk together, what we need to remember together is the truth. So the truth is, whenever I'm not listening to the truth, then I go through pain, but it's not because I'm being punished, it's because I'm following the wrong guide. People are going through pain and struggle not because they're bad, but because they're listening to the wrong guide. People are going through pain not because they're bad. You're not going through some challenge in your life right now because you're bad. You may be going through, we have two seats right there. You're not going through any kind of challenge that you're going through in your life right now because you're being punished. If you're experiencing some kind of pain or conflict in any area of your life right now, it's because you're not following the right guide. You're not following your inner guide. You're not following Holy Spirit. You're not following the truth. But you're not bad. You're not guilty. Just because I made a wrong turn at Colfax doesn't mean I'm condemned. Okay, just because you made a mistake, it doesn't make you a bad person. And we associate mistake with bad person. Mistake with guilt. You just make a mistake because you're not listening to the truth, and then you go through some pain, but you're not really being punished. You're just going through the pain that comes from not listening to the truth. You're not being punished right now. In other words, if you see yourself as broke, or you see yourself as having no abundance and not being in a space of abundance, it doesn't mean that you are really bad or you're not capable of abundance. It just means you're following the wrong guide to abundance. you're following the wrong ideas that create abundance. That's why people are broke. Not because they're bad. They just learn some insane lessons, and they're acting out the insane lessons. So you don't escape paying the price for doing that, not because you're being punished, but just because you're listening to the wrong guide. If I choose the wrong person, if you choose the wrong person in a wrong job or a relationship, you're not being punished. You just chose the wrong relationship. Now, this next thing says, now your brother's errors are not of him any more than yours are of you. Accept the other person's errors as real, and you have attacked yourself. If you would find your way and keep your way, see only truth beside you as you walk together. The Holy Spirit or the right mind in you forgives all things in you and in your brother. So the Holy Spirit, which is the loving right mind within you, forgives all things in you and in the other person. The other person's errors are forgiven with yours. So atonement, which the Course says is the correction of error, is no more separate than love. Atonement, which is the correction of error, cannot be separate because atonement, correction of error, I'm telling you the meaning of atonement. Sometimes people hear that word, atonement. Okay. Atonement just means the correction of error, the undoing of fear. So the Course says the correction of error cannot be separate because it comes from love. That means that the reason why the correction of error cannot be separate because it comes from love is so obvious I'm used to miss it. If it comes from love, then you're going to be corrected, but I'm going to be corrected too. If the correction of error is coming from love, it's not separate. It's not just held out that some of us make it. Some of us get corrected. Some of us, you know, this all-powerful creative force is going to leave you out. That's because that's not love. For anybody to be left out is not love. But anybody to be left out of the healing is not love. So the correction is no more separate than love. Love has nothing that's separate. Love does not leave anything out. Love does not leave anybody out. Our specialness does. And so we project our way of loving onto God. And so we now think God has special ones. Or the Creator has special ones. And the Creator is in us and outside of us and encompass us. It's everywhere. Some people object to, well, you can't see God as outside anywhere. Yes, you can. You can see God everywhere. God is in everything. God is everywhere. It's in us. It contains us. It surrounds us. It is us. It's everywhere. So if it's everywhere, then that means nothing's left out, including you. I understand now why it seems like I'm left out. It seems like I'm left out because I don't give everybody's errors to the Holy Spirit. I don't keep the truth beside me as I walk on the way, and I make everybody's mistakes real to me. So therefore, I don't feel like my problems have been solved. You know why? Because I'm following the wrong guide. I'm not paying attention to what I'm being told, and I'm not living what I'm being told, but I am cute, and I'm not guilty. That's what time that is. So, you know, as our errors are being pointed out, please don't mistake that to mean that you are somehow being condemned, because that goes back to our old religious upbringing. Just because someone tells you that you will never freeze ice cream by jacking up your car, it doesn't mean they're condemning you. Just because somebody tells you that jumping off a building wouldn't work for your health doesn't mean they're condemning you because an error or mistake is being corrected. So just because we're being told what we're doing incorrectly that keeps us from having the happiness that we deserve to have doesn't mean we're being condemned. We're just being corrected. You're not being, and I'm not being condemned. This book isn't condemning us. The truth isn't condemning us. Nobody's condemning us. We're just being told, you make a mistake. All right? Now, if I really want to have an easy day, this is what I do. I come in, and then I perceive what appears to me to be errors. Rather than correct you, I just give it over to the Holy Spirit because I want the Holy Spirit to handle my stuff. I'm going to practice giving your stuff to the Holy Spirit because you know what? It's easier to give your stuff to the Holy Spirit than it is to give my stuff to the Holy Spirit. So I love the fact that this book is teaching me to give your stuff over to God. Oh, yeah. God handles y'all's stuff. I'm cool now. You know, but the more I do that, the more it will become feasible to me to give my own stuff over. So that's the advantage of giving yours. First of all, I can't fix you no way. You might object to my fixing. I want God to handle my issues, so why don't I give your issues to God as part of my training, my mind to give things to God? It's easier to give your stuff to God because personally I'm not as invested in it. I wish I was, but I'm not. I'm more invested in my illusions. They're precious to me. I made them all by myself. You know, I got time to deal with yours. I'm mine. They're my special little bastard children. Y'all got little bastards too? Those little insane children like the children of the corn. those little stuff you make up, you call yourself your own little personality self. That's crazy. We all got them. Okay. So, the court says, I love this. It says, it's ridiculous that I think I have to put little pieces of glass before my eyes to see. Here I am, a child of God. Nearsighted. What's wrong with that picture? I'm an unlimited spiritual being. I tell you, this is going to be some funny stuff to us one day. Right now, it's serious as hell, eh? So just let me practice laughing by laughing at your stuff first. Then I'll work my way up to mine. Is that okay? Okay, because I got to get to learn how to laugh at my own stuff. Oh, God. This is funny. Okay. And I love it. It says, any attempt you make to correct a brother means you believe correction by you is possible. Any attempt you make to correct a person means that you believe correction by you is possible. Why are you attempting to correct everybody you know? Because I believe correction by me is possible. He says, well, this can only be what? The arrogance of your ego, the arrogance of your separate self, the arrogance of yourself that thinks it knows everything, the arrogance of your ego, the arrogance of your personality self that believes it can correct everybody. But the truth is, and I like this, correction is of God, correction is of God, correction is of God, correction is of God, correction is of love, correction is of love, correction is of love, correction is of the Creator. I'm saying it different ways to, you know, you don't reach everybody the same way. So sometimes love is easy to take, then God is easy to take, then the Creator is easy to take. But the point is, we're not the ones who make the correction. That's the point. Correction is of God. When you think correction is of you, then you're making a mistake and you're not gonna, it's not gonna work. It's not because you're being punished, but it's because you're following the wrong guy. What's the wrong guy? It's the part of you that told you to correct everybody. That's the wrong guy. So now you're gonna go through context. Somebody's gonna tell you to buzz off. Because you shouldn't have been correcting them in the first place. So I like this path. I mean, basically, are you just telling me to leave people alone? Yeah, that's what you're telling me. You're telling me to leave people alone and give their problems to the Holy Spirit. Give their problems to God. Give their problems to God. Give their problems to God. Oh, that's deep. That is so deep. He says, God doesn't know of arrogance. And it's arrogant to believe that you're the one that's supposed to create and correct everybody when you didn't create everybody. You didn't create me, then why should you be the one correcting me? The Holy Spirit forgives everything because God created everything. The Holy Spirit forgives everything. Do not undertake the Holy Spirit's function, which is to forgive everything, or you will forget your function. Accept only the function of healing in time, because that's what time is for. So accept only the function of healing in time. Accept only the function of healing in time. Accept only the function of healing in time. So your function is to heal. Your function is to heal. The Course says to heal means to undo fear, undo guilt. So when it says heal, it's not talking about like a physical wound on your body that you want to be healed. It means that every time you let go of any form of fear or guilt, you are healing. Every time you let go of any kind of fear or guilt, you are healing. That is what heals. So your function is to let go of your blocks, let go of your fear, let go of your guilt, let go of your anger, let go of everything that blocks you. Is your function is to let go of everything that blocks you in your mind and your heart. Is your function is to let go of everything that blocks you in your mind and your heart. That is your function, to let go of everything that blocks you in your mind and your heart. That is the undoing of fear. That is the atonement. That is the healing. It's undoing fear and guilt. It's the healing. It's undoing fear and guilt. It's the healing. Undoing fear and guilt. It's separation. It's the healing. So am I healing you if I'm trying to make you feel guilty? Am I healing you if I'm trying to make you feel guilty? Am I healing you if I'm trying to make you feel worse than you already feel about yourself? Am I your healer if I'm making you feel like a crock of crap? No. So you learn how to recognize your healers. Your healers are the ones that are supporting you and recognizing your innocence. So accept only the function of healing in time, because that's what time is for. God gave you the function to create in eternity. You don't need to learn how to create in eternity. Thank God. Enough to learn. I was so glad. You do not need to learn that. But you do need to learn to want to create in eternity. I need to learn how to want to create. I need to learn how to really want to create. I'm learning how to want to create. I'm learning how to want to create, because all learning was made so that you would learn how to create and learn how to want to create. You're supposed to be learning how to want to create, learning how to want to extend love. That's what Cohen says creation is. Learning how to extend happiness and joy and peace. That is my function. My function is to let go of my fear in time and learn how to create. Let go of my fear and guilt, learn how to create. Let go of my fear and guilt, learn how to create. My function, forgiving everybody is the Holy Spirit's function. Forgiving everybody is the Holy Spirit's function. Healing everybody is the Holy Spirit's function. Healing everybody is the Holy Spirit's function. Fixing everybody you know is the Holy Spirit's function. Healing everybody you know is the Holy Spirit's function. What did I just say? Healing. All right, don't help me remember too. Okay, so what's the Holy Spirit's function? So every time you get ready to correct somebody, are you fulfilling your function? So you know it might turn out any kind of way that might smack you inside your head. So every time you step up to correct somebody, don't be shocked if they don't always go all just right. Okay, let's get that clear. When you break the law, don't be surprised if it don't turn out right. Just because you want to correct me doesn't mean it's necessarily what you should be doing. As a matter of fact, most of the people that you corrected the best were people that you never knew you corrected. And the people that got the most screwed up was the ones you tried to help. I'm telling you. They're people you tried to help that's in therapy. They came and see you today. Who just got to jump off the building? That's the one Earl tried to help. So every time you get ready, the consciousness, like consciousness selected miracle can be misguided. If you consciously select somebody, you're going to heal. It can be misguided. Just like when you consciously select your next lover. Sure. Your next girlfriend, your next boyfriend. Notice how often that's been misguided? That was your consciously selected miracle. And notice the ones that tend to have worked out the best were usually the ones that were most unexpected. And not the person you expected to be with or expected to know. That's the one you ended up having the coolest time with, and the one you went, that's the one for me. That's the one that you had to put out a restraining order on. Anybody ever noticed that? I don't know about y'all, but you know, I've been one of those stalkers. I've been behind a couple of bushes in my day. I knew she was saying him. This how y'all believe that, isn't it? Somebody gave me to the Holy Spirit. I don't know who it was, but I'm so glad. Because you don't always know who's saving you. You know what I mean? I think about a lot of times when I go into public gatherings, I make a point to bless everybody in there. And I was thinking about how few of them would believe that there was this black dude standing in the corner blessing them. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't even cross their mind if they saw me standing up there. So I'm telling you that you're being loved, but you always are not aware of it. Just like they weren't aware of me loving them, there's something that loves us that we're not aware of. You got to understand, we're not alone. The X-Files was right. You know, thank God we're not alone. Yeah. So I'm glad I'm not alone. You know, I just don't want to be with no crazy people. Anymore. But I got to move out of that club if I don't want to be a member of it. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I'm about healing in time, learning how to create. And then it says, the Course in Miracles is really funny. It says that most people who share it, they're so friggin' serious that it becomes a drag. It's really a joke book from God. I think Jesus was just tripping when he was. I think Jesus was on ecstasy. Because I've heard ecstasy and Jesus go together. Let's see. Those who are afraid of God now feels like he's praying for my soul right now. They're praying for my soul. Would you do that? Oh, I'm so glad. You really love me. If you would have given me to something that would really help me with me, that you really love me. If you saved me for your own correction, you couldn't love me at all. So you can tell them what you love somebody by how much you try to fix them. And it's deep in it. If I really love you, I give you the what would really help you. Yeah. If I don't love you, then I'm just going to give you to me. God is deep. He says, and then it says, this is the Holy Spirit's use of an ability that you don't need, that you made. So what is the ability that you don't need? Learning. Your learning ability is ability that you don't need, but you made it up. He says we've developed a learning ability so that we can learn things that was the opposite of the truth. Because who we really are creators, and creators don't need to learn anything. They just need to be and create. But since we made up this idea of learning, the Course says, well, then the Holy Spirit will use your ability to learn to teach you to want to learn how to create. So we're learning to want to do what's best for us. So we have a learning ability that we didn't really have to have originally because as the creators we didn't need it. But for whatever reason we chose it. So since we have a learning ability, why not use it to our benefit? Yeah. All right, that makes sense to me. I buy that. Then it says, then give your learning ability to God. Give your learning ability to love. Give your learning ability to the creator. Give your learning ability to the higher self. Okay? Right now I give my learning ability to that which created me. Okay, I always stop. Whenever the Course says do something I've learned over the years, stop right then. Because if I don't do it then, I won't do it. Have you ever planned to apply this later? How's it working for you? And you sit there and hear something, say, well, one day I'll say that. And then that'll be the day you get the result. But don't be expecting to get the result today or something you're going to do 2 weeks from now. But that's what I used to do. I expected to get the result from something I'd apply one day. I used to wonder why things didn't go right for me. Someone doing the damn thing right.
Yeah.
But I thought I was. Because I'd rather be right than be happy. Mm-hmm. He says, you don't understand how to use your learning ability. You don't understand how to use your learning ability. You don't understand how to use your learning ability. You don't understand how to use your learning ability. Holy Spirit, which is your higher self, will teach you how to see yourself without condemnation. Oh, that'd be great. How do you see yourself without condemnation? Isn't that a good question? How do you see yourself without condemnation? Well, by learning how to look on everything without it. When you learn to look on everything without condemnation, you'll also learn how to look at yourself without condemnation, because you're part of everything. So if you learn how to see everything without condemnation, you're going to eventually include you in the bunch. So if I'm not condemning you, even if I'm condemning myself, if I'm not condemning you, eventually I'm not going to condemn myself because I'm not condemning you. Eventually, I'm going to start applying to me. Everything I'm applying to you, I'm going to apply to me eventually. So if I stop condemning you, eventually I realize, you know what? I'm going to stop condemning Earl, because I found out as I studied the truth that I stopped blaming everybody else and I started blaming myself. Mm-hmm. I went right from not blaming other people like I used to still blaming me. So I need to keep on not blaming you. And because I haven't been blaming you, even though I started to blame me when I took it off of you, now I'm saying, well, hey, put on, I take it off of me too. And that's exactly what the book said would happen. Like when I stopped condemning you at some point, I said, well, why don't I stop giving Earl such a hard time too? That makes sense. I'm giving Earl an easy time. Why don't I give me an easy time? But see, if I'm giving you a hard time, I'm going to give me a hard time. But if I'm not giving you a hard time, then I'm going to say, hell, I don't deserve no hard time either. People who don't love themselves expect themselves to be treated like crap. That's why they're not shocked when things go wrong. They expect it. Let's see what the Holy Spirit is saying of forgiveness. He says, by learning how to look on everything without it, condemnation would then not be real to you because you're not condemning anybody else. And then all your errors would be forgiven because you're no longer condemning anybody else. Then why can't your mistakes be forgiven? By the universe, since you're not condemning anybody else, then why should you not be forgiven? Any questions, any comments, any sharings? You don't have to agree with me. I don't care what you say. It's okay. You say anything you want to. I like it when people just say anything. And it's also about that session. Everybody knows now what to do when they leave out of here as far as correction is concerned. Everybody's clear on correction. You got it down, at least what the idea of correction is.
I have something.
Okay.
I think it was lesson 150 today, and I got the impression that atonement means it's who I am. I accept atonement for myself. It's what I am.
When I share a definition from the book, it's just one of thousands.
Yeah.
So because I say it's one thing, it doesn't mean that there are other explanations for it. Like the another definition for the atonement is accepting the undoing of error, accepting the truth about yourself, accepting the truth, accepting your innocence. That's your atonement.
I just wanted to check and see if I was crazy.
No. Well, you are crazy, but... But I am too.
You can call it whatever you want.
Yeah, you're saying,
my spiritual identity.
It's saying.
And when I say, when I get in the fear and I say, this is who I am.
That's right.
The fear just goes away.
That's right.
It's amazing.
Because all fear is forgetting who you are anyway.
Yeah.
That's what fear is. I've forgotten that I'm the holy child of God. That's why I'm afraid. I've forgotten I'm a spiritual being. That's why I'm afraid.
Your function is you're a teacher, maybe, so... If you go, I'm Earl Purdy and I'm a teacher,
then I'm totally my ego.
Oh, you are?
Mm-hmm. Because that's a label, that's a symbol, that's a name. But being a teacher can be used by God. So it's not like I'm condemning that. I love teaching, but I am the Holy Son of God Himself. You are the Holy Son. You are by Son, we mean creation. We don't mean a man or woman.
That's too far for me.
Yeah, but I know. That's why. Yeah, just accept yourself as sitting in the chair. That'll be a good start. Let's not really work our way up. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm doing. I accept that I'm sitting in the chair looking at y'all. That's where I'm starting. I'm going to work on my way up to being the unlimited child of God. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time just accepting where I am right now and accepting what is right now.
Yeah.
You know? So that'd be a big one. So thanks for sharing that.
Well, don't you have a function? Doesn't it?
Your function in time is healing. Your function is allowing the blocks to your awareness of love to be removed from you. See, the reason why people struggle is when you talk to the average person, their awakening is not their primary goal. it's something else. And because it's something else, that's what causes the pain. But they don't know that. They think the pain is coming from their wish not being fulfilled. They don't realize that their pain is coming from not fulfilling their function as a child of God. So they blame it on something else. You know, and so all the things that make us happy is nothing but the result of us not performing our true function, which is making healing our number one priority.
Yeah, that's what my function is.
That's your function.
And I just do certain things.
And whatever you like, this is a good deal though, brother. Whatever things you make up in your mind that you like to do, what's cool about that is that can be used to help you fulfill your function. So you win. So it's a win-win situation. If you decide to be a painter, then your being a painter can be used as a tool for healing and awakening. If you want to be a movie star, if you want to be a teacher, if you want to be a runner, if you want to be an actor, if you want whatever it is you think you want to do, whatever your fantasy is, a designer, a president of a company, whatever it is, the form is something you make up. The content's coming from God. So you want the content of your life to be love, no matter what the appearance of it is. We get to choose the appearance, but the content is going to be love or fear, no matter what you choose. Those are the only two choices it says we got. I don't care what you come up with. You can come up with your greatest fantasy. Either you're going to experience love through that fantasy or dream, or you're going to feel separation and fear through that fantasy or dream. So what we want to do is give our fantasies and dreams over to the part of us that loves us, because there is a part of us that does love us. The problem is we've been giving over our desires to the part of us that thinks we don't deserve it, or thinks we're not good enough, or thinks we're separate from God. And when you give your desires over to your separated self based on fear and guilt and separation, you can't possibly enjoy your creation, because your creation isn't based on any kind of unity and oneness or safety or love. So you end up having the thing but not the satisfaction, and then you wonder why you're not happy when you think you manifested the physical thing you thought was going to make you happy. That was just the form. It's the content that turns you on. So it's the content that's more important than the form when you begin to wake up. It's more about what's coming through this body more so than the body.
Yeah.
You hear me? Thank you, God. Somebody heard this. Everybody else was. So thank you. I'm glad, you know. You know, when you really got together, you walk up to the person and start saying, "Do you love my body?" You go, "Do you love my content?"
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm like, "Candy, baby, I'm your contentment." I'm the ultimate altoid, I tell you. Get you straight, you know. This is funny stuff, I'm telling you. You're going to see me on Saturday Night Live, waking people up. I remember when we used to be at this little church over there. And I have my entourage. I'll still be very spiritual, calling everybody my millions. Yes, some my millions, sir. I'm very spiritual, you know. Maybe 12,000 flowers by this evening. I'm not catching. Okay. I'm telling you, it's funny. So, do you know right on this street there are enlightened beings, but they live in houses? And you don't run into them yet? But you might have masters living right on the same street as you, and you don't even know it. Most of the people on this street don't suspect this is going on in this form. So what I'm saying, so how many things are going on that's incredible and different and unique and alternative that we don't know about? See, that's what's going to freak us all out. We think we're the only ones doing this in a way, but the truth is there's so many of us doing this that it's going to create a fundamental shift in the consciousness of the entire planet. You know, there's a movie coming out about this one person having a vote to cast, and when they cast their vote, then that's going to decide who's going to be the president. It's called swing vote. So the whole thing is centered around somehow or another, this guy's vote determined who's going to be president, and then everybody was trying to get him to vote for them, right? You may be the swing vote of consciousness. You may be the swing vote of when you get it. As a matter of fact, I will go out in the room and guarantee you, when you get it, everybody gets it.
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
Yeah.
When you really accept the truth, if you accept the love, I'm telling you, when you accept that you're one with God, when you accept that you're truly a part of spirit, when you accept that everybody is one with you, just when you do it, everybody's going to do it. But see, what's happening is I'm waiting for everybody else to do it. Then I think I'll do it after I get the proof it's happening because somebody else is doing it. And so that's why we don't see it, because everybody's waiting on everybody else.
Wow.
But all it takes is one of us. And I don't mind if it's you. Please. Please be happy. Please be loving. Please have an incredible life. Please wake up to your oneness with me. Please recognize I'm not my ego. I'm willing. I hope anybody can do it before me. I'm just cool. Because the truth is, when one of us does it, everybody's going to receive the blessing. That's the way it works. Love is not separate. You know, you take this glass and you can pour water in this glass. No matter where you pour it in the glass, all of it rises equally. So it just, you're just a spout. So, you know, you're about spouting off. Yeah, so let it come through you. When it comes through you, it's going into the collective consciousness of all of us. I read this for everybody for 30 years. You don't have to take 30 years to get any part of this that I know, because I learned it for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't take, you think it's going to take you a long time to get this. It doesn't take you any time to get it. If one of us got it, if I got it, you got it. It's just you just have to access it in yourself, because I'm a part of you. It's in there. Or you just ask me. That might be simple. If your psychic ability is not up to snuff yet, you just might want to just ask. You can't psychically tune in to the collective unconsciousness of my spiritual awareness. Just say, Earl, what did the course say? It's very simple. I've dedicated my life to receiving this information and giving it. You take advantage of that. Take advantage of that. Take advantage of that. It's your heart to tell you if I'm deceiving you in some way. Because your heart is not your emotions. Paying attention to following your heart does not mean following your emotions. Following your heart does not mean following your emotions. Following your heart does not mean following your emotions. You know what your emotions are? Your emotions are just reactions to stimuli that's coming through your physical senses. That's all emotions are. There's some stimuli coming through your physical senses and you're reacting to it, whether it's the cuteness of a baby or the warmth of a summer day or a beautiful sunset. That's just you reacting to physical stimuli coming through your physical senses. That's the worst way in the world to guide yourself. But your heart is the center of your being. It's the part of you that sees through all this deception and illusion, because in your heart, you know if something is right for you. You might try to pretend you don't know, but you know in your heart, which is the center of your being. So when you have a good day and a bad day, the reason why that happens is because your mind deceives you, and then your heart sees through the deception and you feel good again. Have you ever felt really, really despondent and you felt down, and then the next day you looked at the same situation and you went, oh, it's not as bad as I thought it was. Oh, I'm pretty cooled out. Let's see, what happened was your mind frightened you, then in the interim your heart saw through the whole deception and you saw you were okay. And that's what we call up and down, happy and unhappy, good day, bad day. They come from deceiving yourself or seeing through it. Deceiving yourself, so this is what you talk. Deceiving myself, seeing through it. See, when you're happy, you're seeing through it. When you're miserable, you're deceiving yourself. Deceiving myself Monday. Deceiving myself Tuesday. Deceiving myself Wednesday. Deceiving myself Thursday. Deceiving myself Friday. That ain't good for the weekend. Seeing right through that illusion. I can be happy right now. I don't care if they're going to see my check. I'm going to see Batman. You know, you see right through it. You won't let the illusion stop your joy. There's a part of you, there's a core of you, there's a psychic territory of power. It's a part of you that you won't allow anything in this world to touch. And it gets as close as it can get, and you'll get worried about this, and you'll get angry about that, but you'll reach a point, and we've all reached it, when you reach your psychic territory of power, and you go, no more, I don't give a hoot. They can come take the car, you can leave, I don't give a heck. They're giving no more energy to this. When you reach that point, that's always your psychic territory of power, and everybody got one. Sometimes it takes longer for some people to get to theirs than others. But everybody, there's a part of you that will not be touched by the world and nothing in it, ever. You're the core of your being. That's your true self. We should acknowledge that part of us. That's okay. It's all right to show enthusiasm for good thoughts. Well, sir, that sounds kind of good. I don't know. Let's see. You want to go a little bit further? All right. No, let's go. Let's go. Okay.
Let's go.
All right. Now, The Holy Spirit's plan of forgiveness. That's the same as saying the right man's plan. The Holy Spirit says the Holy Spirit means the loving right man. The loving right man's plan of forgiveness. The Course defines forgiveness as correct perception or correct interpretation. So to look at that correctly, the translation would be the loving right man's plan of correct perception. The loving right man's plan of correct perception. We're about to hear the loving man's plan for correction. So this is the way a loving mind works. So don't get upset if you don't see it this way at the beginning. Okay? Because this is the way the loving mind works. So when you hear it and you go, that don't sound right. I don't think they can do that. Something's wrong with that. That's because this is the loving mind's plan. My plan, my mind isn't the loving mind all the time. It's not the united mind all the time. Mine isn't. I tell the truth about it. So, atonement, which is the correction of error, is for all, because the correction of error is the way to undo the belief that anything is for you alone. So, the Course is trying to get rid of the belief that there's anything just for you alone. Then the next thing it says, to forgive is to overlook. See the definitions? To forgive is to overlook. So this will be the Holy Spirit's plan of overlooking. Okay, so this is what you do. You see something, you see it when you wake up and your mind is full of love, when you see someone doing something that's insane, either in yourself or somebody else, you will look beyond the mistake. You won't let your perception rest upon the mistake, because you know if you let your perception rest on the mistake, you're going to believe whatever your perception holds. So if I focus on everything about you that upsets me, I'm going to believe it, because I'm going to believe whatever my perception sees. Did you hear that? I'm going to believe whatever my perception sees. So if I focus on your error, I'm going to believe in it, because I'm focusing on your error. If I focus on her black top, and I focus all my attention on her black top, then I miss what's beyond her black top. And that's all my perception is going to hold. If I'm focusing on the recorder, even though there are other things in the room, I'm only seeing the recorder. So you're going to only think what exists is what your perception sees. And so most people believe that what's true is just whatever their perception sees. So then it says, accept is true only what your brother is if you want to know yourself. Accept is true only what your brother is if you want to know yourself. Accept is true only what your brother is if you want to know yourself. Perceive what the person isn't, and you can't know what you are, because you're seeing them falsely when you're perceiving them as they are not. So if I'm perceiving you as you are not, then I'm perceiving you falsely. Remember that our identity is shared, and it becomes real from us sharing it. So if I am love, then if I want to know I am love, I've got to go, you are love, 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 you are love. If I want to know myself as love, I've got to include you, because our identity is shared. Now, you have a part to play in the plan. Okay, the atonement. But the plan of the healing or atonement is beyond you. I said it again. Earl, you got a part to play, but the whole plan is beyond what you know. You don't know the working of the whole plan. You don't know what the whole plan is, but you got a part in the plan. You don't know what the whole plan is, but you have a part in the plan. You don't know what the whole plan is, but you have a part in the plan. You don't understand how to overlook errors, or you wouldn't make them. If I knew how to overlook errors, I wouldn't make errors. So he says, you don't know how to overlook errors. So give yourself a break. You don't know how to overlook people's errors. I don't know how to overlook everybody's errors. Do you? Well, that's why I can't overlook mine. So my errors are just as big as you all in my perception. I don't know about you, but mine are. He says it would be merely further error to believe that you didn't make error, or that you can correct error without a guide to correction. So it's a mistake to believe that you don't make errors. It's an error to believe you don't make errors. I love it. It's a mistake to believe that you don't make mistakes. And also, it's a mistake to believe that you can correct your mistakes without God. It's a mistake to think you don't make any mistakes, and it's a mistake to think that you can correct the mistake. That's deep, y'all. It's a mistake. Here's what happens. If I believe that I don't make mistakes, then I'm much more prone to condemn you for yours. So as soon as I'm not like you, I condemn you. But if I'm capable of making mistakes, and I realize I'm capable of making mistakes, then when you make a mistake, I won't crucify you. Okay, because you make mistakes, I make mistakes. You make mistakes, I make mistakes. You make mistakes, I make mistakes. You make mistakes, they make mistakes. They make mistakes, you make mistakes. They act crazy, you act crazy. They act selfish, you act selfish. They look out for themselves, you look out for yourself. You make the same error, they make errors, I make errors. You make errors, I make errors. It's a mistake to think that I don't make any errors, but all of you make the error, but I don't make the error. I'm packing it, I don't never make no mistakes, but y'all make all the mistakes. That's a mistake. To think I can correct your mistakes without God is another mistake. To think my mistakes can be corrected without God is a mistake. So those are the two big mistakes. To think you don't make a mistake is a mistake. To think you can correct a mistake without the higher power is a mistake. And if you don't follow the guide, your mistakes will not be corrected. If you don't follow the guide to correction, your mistakes will not be corrected. If you don't follow the guide to correction, your mistakes will not be corrected. If you don't follow the guide to correction, your mistakes will not be corrected. If you don't follow the guide to correction, oh, that sounds like it's so much to do. No, not really. I haven't been very good at correcting everybody's mistakes on my own anyway. This is one way of getting a correction. The whole correction is in here. And if you don't like it in this way, throw it out and another way will come to you that's more in line with what you like. This is the only way to get correction. This is just one way to get correction for a group of people that's attracted to this way of getting corrected. So the Course in Miracles is only made for those who respond to it. But those who don't respond to it, they'll get their form of the truth coming to them in the way that works best for them. That's why you'll never hear me say this is the only way. Simply because it's just the way for the people that it appeals to and that it moves. Which isn't everybody, and obviously not a whole lot of people. This is not exactly the path of the cast of thousands. This is not Texas Centerside bunch here, I'm going to tell you. We will not be in Invesco Field soon with a Course. Lord, please let people love the Course as much as they do the Broncos. Lord, please let people love the Course as much as they do the Broncos. Course. Because if we did, we'd have a transformed city overnight. I'm telling you, if we could get as excited about joining in love as we do about everything else, it would be ridiculous how cool this city would be for us to be in. But you can have your own personal cool city by accepting the truth for yourself, watching that truth being reflected back to you through everybody you meet, and then you have the exact same experience whether everybody else is doing it or not. Because that's all you will attract to you, and that's all you will see in your life. And that's what I love about the truth. If I just accept it for myself, then it comes back to me through every single person that I meet. I've been stunned at the level of communication and conversations I've been having with total strangers and people I've just been meeting for the first time. It's just been blowing my mind. They're coming at me just like we're sitting in this course class talking right now. Because people have to meet you where you are. So when you really get there, you'll be surrounded by people that's there also. You can't be anywhere alone. There's no such thing as you being on this high level of consciousness by yourself. You might want to check that out. That kind of goes against the theory of unity. Hey, George, I finally got the truth, and I'm alone. Nobody is here. You might want to rethink whether you were listening to the correct guide. You might want to don't sound to me like it's the guide to union. The plan is not yours. What, did you hear me?
Yeah.
The plan is not yours. The plan is not yours. Your plans are just God's entertainment. That's on right between the lines. The plan is not yours because of your limited ideas about what you are. The plan isn't, you know, in other words, you don't think high enough about yourself to listen to your plan. You don't think highly enough about yourself for anything to follow your plan. Your plan doesn't work because you don't think highly enough about yourself. Because of your limited ideas of who you are, your plans don't work because of your limited ideas of who you are. Your plan doesn't work because of your limited ideas of who you are. Your plan doesn't work because of your limited ideas of who you are, not because you're bad, not because you're powerless, not because you're weak, because you don't think high enough of yourself for the universe to allow your plan. You don't think good enough about yourself for your plans to work. The plans that we do usually come from a sense of something is missing, and I'm hoping that I can fill that missing spot with my plans. I'm really little, so I got a plan to be great. I'm really, you see what I'm saying? Our plans do not come from the perception of ourselves at the highest level. Our plans usually come from a sense of fear and trying to fulfill some emptiness or lack that we think is going on in our lives. That's why the universe doesn't pay any attention to our plans. Our plans suck. They don't have anything to do with the beautiful beings that we are. So I'm glad. I'm glad every plan that I have that is not going to give me what I deserve always fails. I'm glad every relationship that doesn't present me with the love I deserve always fails. I'm glad that the job that's the worst job in the world is so miserable that I have to leave it. I'm glad that my plans don't work if they're not for my own best interest. Thank you, God, that my plans haven't worked. I haven't thought of anything for my own best interest. I'm acting out a plan now that was given to me. This wasn't my plan. You think I sat down when I was 20 years old and said I wanted to be sitting in a room just talking about some strange material that nobody ever heard of? That wasn't what I was thinking. I'm supposed to be on my Learjet right now. I'm supposed to be like, you know. And it all playing different.
Yeah.
I'm so glad it all failed, because this is the perfect place for me to be at the perfect time, and I'm doing the perfect thing for me, and I know that. So I don't walk out of this class feeling like, oh, I need to be somewhere else. Something happened here. I don't feel complete. It's like, this is better than sex for me. And that's saying a lot for me, let me tell you. I never thought I'd meet the thing. And that's a miracle. That's a miracle. Anybody have a sign the email list? Because if you haven't received an email, it means you're not on it. Okay. So I did let you know about newsletters, classes, when I'm out of town, whatever, going to keep you up on everything. Plus, it gives you access to some YouTube videos for my classes. All right. So I'm going to stop here and do the love offer. Not of us. We're not the one that, we have a part to play, but you don't know what the whole plan is. You don't know what the whole plan is. So we're going to do a quick little finishing it up before we go out into the dream. So when you see some people in your life acting kind of insane to you, remember they just learned insane lessons. They just learned insane lessons. They're still sane, but they learned insane lessons. Tell yourself all your friends and relatives are still sane, but they just learned insane lessons. They are still sane, but they learned insane lessons. You did too. It's a mistake to think that you don't make mistakes. It's a mistake to think that you don't make mistakes. It's a mistake to believe that you don't make mistakes. It's a mistake to believe that you don't make mistakes. It's a mistake to believe that you can correct a mistake without correction of the Holy Spirit is a mistake. To believe that you can correct an error without the Holy Spirit is a real mistake. So you make mistakes, they make mistakes, you make mistakes, they make mistakes, you make mistakes, but to think that you can have the mistake corrected without the Holy Spirit is a mistake. Give another person's mistakes to the Holy Spirit. If you want your mistakes to be given to the Holy Spirit, give your mistakes over to the Holy Spirit. If you want their mistakes given to the Holy Spirit, and you want your mistakes and problems given over to a higher power, if you want your problems and challenges given over to a higher power, then the way that you get there is to give everybody else's problems, give everybody that you know over to the Holy Spirit, to the higher self. Give over everybody that you know tonight. 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 Give over yourself. Give yourself over tonight. Give yourself over to the Holy Spirit tonight. Give yourself over to a higher power tonight. Surrender to a higher part of yourself tonight. Give it up to God tonight. Give me over to God tonight. Give them over to God tonight. Give yourself over to God tonight. And that's how correction is made. So be it. All right? All right? World's our fellows. I love y'all.